There are fears of a possible grounding of Ghana's public pension scheme because a fresh audit report has revealed that the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, may not be able to pay full pension benefit to contributors by 2036. This is revealed in a latest International Labour Organization's actuarial evaluation report on SNIT. Labour unions in the past few weeks have taken on for failing to remit some Tier 2 pension deductions to the fund managers. According to them, the last time government paid their Tier 2 contributions was in June 2023, owing them 9 months deduction from July 2023 to March 2024. Speaking on PM Express last night, Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research, Abdallah Mashoud, revealed there is more to the problem because the latest report indicates that SNIT may not be able to pay full pension benefits by 2036.
Now, of course, you know, every 3 years, we have to get external actuaries to come into the country and assess the health of the scheme. In 2014, when the actuarial valuation was done, we were made to understand that the SNIT scheme is unable to pay benefits fully and on time by 2042. 3 years later, in 2017, another actuarial valuation done by ILO, they came into the country, did another actuarial valuation, and did indicate to the to policymakers and government that, look, remember we warned you in 2014, the scheme will not be able to pay benefit by 2042 in 2014. Now in 2017, it came down to 2037. 2037. Mm-hmm. That is 5 years down. As we speak, another actuarial valuation was put out in January this year, and the figure has come down to 2036.
So wait a minute. So this actuarial study says that by 2036, SNIT will not be able to pay contributions.
It will not be able to pay benefits fully and on time. The reserves would have
been depleted. Okay, it's not able to pay benefits fully and on time.
It is because the reserves would have depleted. That is, if nothing is done. And they have made a lot of recommendations in the actuarial valuation report. The Director General has the mandate to drive the provisions or the recommendations of the actuarial valuation report. We haven't seen anything like that. Even while, you know, across the world, people are reforming pensions in order to improve the long-term sustainability of schemes, we are sleeping here in Africa and in Ghana.
Now, reacting to this revelation, President of the National Association of Graduate Teachers, Angel Kagbonu, and Director of Research and Policy at the Trades Union Congress, Dr. Kwabena Nyakootu, said SNIT must make the report public immediately.
I don't have the copy, and that is the point I said, that we should utilize our membership on the SNIT board.
Yeah, but it's shocking, isn't it? You have members on the SNIT board. An actuarial study has been done, and you don't have it. Angel Kagbonu, have you seen a copy?
Absolutely not. They did not even announce whether
they were doing it.
And this says by 2036, they will be struggling to pay full benefits.
Exactly. If nothing is done. And they have no recommendations.
Sorry, Franklin.
It's not rocket science. I mean, if clearly speaking, government is not paying already, that's half of your contributions gone anyway. And secondly, if the options to invest which you are receiving are also limited, and they are not doing proper investments because the politician is also interfering, clearly it tells you that the funds will dwindle anyway. Okay. So even without seeing the actuarial work, it's clear that by 2036. We will not be able to do the proper social security networking. And I think they need to go and learn what happened in, was it Peru? There are pension experts who have managed that country's pensions very well.
I need to quickly ask the workers. Kagbonu, 30 seconds. Are you going to demand for this study? Because that tells you where your pensions are, what they are going to be, what's going to happen to them. Are you going to demand that?
Well, we have to demand it and make it public.
Dr. Otu?
Absolutely. I mean, it says something about our representation on these institutions. You understand? So we definitely have to get hold of these actuarial studies.
Meanwhile, President of Imani Africa, Franklin Cudjoe, says organized labor must sue government for mismanagement and late remittance of deductions.
In addition to the recommendations I made about asking for penalties to be paid or interest to be paid, I think the workers should also go for lawyers. And I think, yes, they should be able to sue the government to make sure that these monies are paid immediately they are received. It's very important. Because you see, if you're a private actor and you fail to pay your Senate contributions, the speed with which you are taking through the courts, that's a 30-day court, you'll be jailed right now if you don't take care, right? So why should the government be the one actually misbehaving? It's not the best.
Now, NAGRAD President Angel Carbonu warns that they will embark on an industrial action if government doesn't pay the monies by May 2.
If they renege on their response, if they fail us on the promise they made to us that they are going to pay the monies, if the 2nd of May comes and we realize that they have just given us a red herring, then they should expect us to take a very serious action on behalf of our workers and the future of our workers. We are not going to compromise on this at all. And this misbehavior should stop in our country, where money, statutory monies are collected and they are not meted to the designated institutions. It's affected GET Fund, it's affected health funds, it's affected district assembly, common fund. I mean, every dedicated fund is affected by this behavior of the politician, and we cannot allow this to continue.
Angel Carbonu is the president of the NAGRAT. Now, to other stories. Tonight's producers of the investigative work on the GRA SML deal are demanding the publication of the full audit report of KPMG into the deal. President Akufo-Addo has given the Ghana Revenue Authority the go-ahead to continue the implementation of its downstream petroleum audit contract with the Strategic Mobilization Limited, SML. This decision follows an audit conducted by KPMG on the instruction of the president after an investigative piece by the Fourth Estate, which claimed the deal was siphoning billions of cedis from state coffers for no real work done. But the presidency says the deal is important and is saving the country resources. Listen to this interaction between my colleague Kwekwa Asante and producer of the investigative piece, Manasseh Azure Awine, sharing their reaction to the president's decision and making a demand for a publication of the full KPMG report.
The president has today caused a five-page press release to be issued after the KPMG submitted its audit report to him on that SML contract. You will recall that a few months ago, the Fourth Estate, led by Manasseh Azure Awine, put out a documentary, The 3 Billion Cedi Lie, where they made specific claims about Ghana's downstream petroleum sector and that contract that had been handed over to the SML for some revenue assurances. The president all but says that the SML can go ahead. In fact, with that contract that has been impugned, that contract that even the NPA has said they do not have so much information about. So Manasseh Azure Awine conducted this investigation. Manasseh, let me start by asking you your reaction initially to this five-page press release that has been put out by the president. Of course, we haven't seen KPMG's audit report. It is the presidency that are quoting what the KPMG have found.
Okay, my reaction is mixed in a sense that it is commendable that the president decided to look into it and certain actions have been taken. It is important to stress that the component of the contract that has been cancelled is the biggest component in terms of the revenue we are saving. The upstream petroleum and also the mining sector components of the contract, per our production figures as a country, we were going to pay about $90 million to KPMG every single year. So that angle has been, or component has been cancelled. So it is significant savings in addition to some price verification aspect that has also been cancelled. Now, the part that has been kept is the downstream petroleum contract. And that one, the president based his decision to keep the contract on the basis that SML is checking under reporting and under declaration. If you watch our documentary, we put this question to SML and asked whether they were doing under reporting or they were checking under the reporting or under declaration. The company said they were.
All right, so you're still listening to the news tonight. We'll cross over to the venue where the flag bearer of the National Democratic Congress, former President John Dramani Mahama, is outdoring his running mate, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Agyeman. Former President Mahama is speaking now. So let's cross over to the UPS auditorium now.
our General Secretary Fifi Fiavi Kwete, the Chairman of our Council of Elders Alhaji Mahama Idrisu, and all members of the Council of Elders, and indeed all members of the NDC family. I wish with respect to acknowledge all distinguished members of our society who are with us today, including our traditional leaders, our traditional rulers, our religious leaders, our students, members of the diplomatic corps, market women, public servants, and indeed Ghanaians of all levels of society. You're all welcome, and I acknowledge you. I also acknowledge my siblings and my family. My son Sharaf is here with me this evening. And most importantly, I recognize Mrs. Lordina Dramani Mahama. My faithful companion, who has stood by my side through all the rough and tumble of Ghanaian politics. But today we are here to celebrate one person, and that is my running mate, in whom I'm well pleased, Professor Jane Nana Opoku Ajimai. Ladies and gentlemen, I studied history in the university, so I always start with history. History is made up of stories. And as a history student, I've always found an insatiable love for stories. These stories are not simply meant to entertain us, but they are meant to teach us about ourselves, our choices, and our actions, and the useful lessons that we can learn from these stories. Indeed, the evolution of humankind has been the story of triumph over trials and challenges. And throughout history, civilization after civilization, society after society, humanity has found in its lowest moments within itself a rare but potent dose of inspiration nestled in the illustrious hearts of its best people to turn things around. In adversity, we find opportunity. Ghana is at one such juncture in its life, and it requires all our best human resources to change the course of our history and steer our ship of state into calmer waters. Often when our stories are told, they are about his story. But right before us today in Ghana, another story is playing out, right before our eyes. Another history is in the making. But this time, I'll call it her story. Her story will blend favorably with our past to create what I call our story, which will inform our perspectives, shape our destinies, and determine our democratic journey. Therefore, I stand before you today with a deep sense of humility, a renewed sense of hope, to introduce Professor Jane Nana Opoku Ajimai. A very respected woman, a female achiever, a woman of integrity, who would make her mark on our country's journey towards progress and prosperity. There is no question about it. Over the last few years, Ghana, our dear country, has sunk to the lowest depths in our history as an independent nation. Our country, Ghana, over the last few years, has been buffeted by turbulent seas and has been sailing against a very strong headwind. Our leadership has been uninspiring and inept. We have lived under an administration that is unable to be truthful and honest to the people of Ghana and never accepts responsibility for anything. There can be no question in our minds that the effect of this maladministration has been so insidious and pervasive that today our people have lost faith and hope in not just the government of the day, but in our democratic system of governance. Ladies and gentlemen, our country needs an urgent reset. Our people need a leadership that is inspiring, one that will make our people believe and trust in our Ghana project once again, and believe in the hope of a better future. Ghana needs a leadership that will place value on integrity, truth, and accountability. Ghana needs a leadership that will roll up its sleeves and accept responsibility for our current reality and face the present storm stoically and steer the ship of state into safer and calmer waters. Ghana and its present crisis needs leadership that will do things differently, including sacrificing personal comforts to achieve a Ghana of shared prosperity for all of us, not just a few. The next 4 years will be pivotal for our country's destiny. The urgency required to take our country to the height it deserves will be matched by each waking day. If there was any indication of intent to think outside the box, to be innovative and use our best human resources to deliver the Ghana we all want, then it is in my choice of J. Nana Opokuagyema as my running mate. As my running mate and potential vice president of Ghana going into the 2024 elections. I do not doubt this, as her globally acclaimed credentials attest to that. Nana Jane is a woman of unquestionable integrity and whose reputation for honesty and ethical behavior is unparalleled. Our late leader, the founder of the National Democratic Congress and the Fourth Republic, President Jerry John Rawlings, acknowledged her integrity when he told her in 2020, "There is no doubt that it is your integrity that has earned you the position as running mate." A former Minister of Education, a trailblazing first female Vice Chancellor of a public university in Ghana, and celebrated as a scholar and as an administrator, her shining credentials are endless on the African continent and across the globe. She is a woman who will accept responsibility and bring honesty and truth back to the office of the Vice President. With Nana Jane as my Vice President, Ghana can be assured that an NDC government led by me, President John Dramani Mahama, will fight corruption and restore the gaping absence of accountability that is the current hallmark of this government. We will work tirelessly to ensure transparency, accountability, and justice for all and not just a few. I know Nana Jane is a passionate advocate of the Mahama 24-hour economy policy. She understands the importance of providing equal opportunities for women and young people to thrive in our economy. And as Vice President, she will ensure that women and young people have more access to jobs, helping to create a more inclusive and prosperous society. Beyond our Ghanaian borders, Nana Jane's esteemed reputation precedes her. Major international organizations and allies highly regard her, and she represents Ghana with dignity and efficiency on the global stage. Her presence will open doors increase trust for our nation, and secure many benefits with our international partners. But perhaps most importantly, Nanajian represents the aspirations and dreams of every Ghanaian, especially our female population. Thank you. Thank you very much. As my second in command, thank you. As my second in command, she will break the glass ceiling that has held our women down. And she will generate a new hope in our daughters that the sky is the limit. And that they can also aspire to occupy the highest offices of the land. If we are to build the Ghana we want together, then Jane Nana Opokuagyemang is truly the vice president Ghana is looking for. She will be a perfect complement in many ways, serving with dignity, courage, integrity, and grace. And under a Mahama Nana Jane administration, the government will work harmoniously with a seamless bridge between the office of the president and the office of the vice president. At the end of our tenure, our four-year tenure, the story that will be recorded will be our story. It will be a collective legacy built by the best human resources of our country, male and female. Nana brings a depth of knowledge and a legacy of leadership to our ticket. I worked with her as my education minister, and again as my running mate. I've enjoyed a great working relationship with her, one that is based on mutual respect for each other and her deep sense of loyalty. She has great insights into human resource management, empowerment, and social development. And under my administration, she will have oversight, among others, of the education sector, the health sector, gender and social protection. Thank you. In these dire times, when unemployment rates have risen astronomically and poverty is stalking our land, ours will be a pair of experienced individuals poised to work together to make the difference that Ghanaians deserve. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, comrades, my brothers and sisters, I'm happy to present to you my running mate, and by the grace of God and the votes of you, my fellow citizens, I'm happy to present Ghana's next vice president, Professor Jane Nana Opokuagyemang. And I leave you with this quotation from the Bible, and it's Romans 8,
verse 31. And it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen, and I thank you for your kind attention.
Okay,
and so as you wait for the Professor Janan Opoku-Adjiman to mount that stage and deliver a much anticipated speech, we will be talking about what we just heard there from John Dramani Mahama. And guys, so John Mahama has said something today that was interesting. The responsibility that he will be giving Jane if they win elections this year.
Mm.
And we know historically and traditionally, our vice president of chair the economic management team, even he himself as JM was a chair of the economic management team. But he tells us that if they win, Jane will be in charge of education, health, gender, and social protection. Your comments on that?
Well, I mean, of course, she was an education minister. Gender, social protection is something you would expect, you know. Also because over the past few years, we've had that. The bit about health, and so you can see a John Mahama probably telling you that social I'll let her lead the social sectors of the economy.
Mm.
And that's where I think she would excel. And as for education, she's been education minister before.
Okay, we can go now. Jane Opoku-Adjiman is now speaking, running mate to the NEC.
My response is two. Thank you again and again. Thank you so much. Our respected party leader and flag bearer, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, the next president of our beloved republic. Your Excellency Lordina Mahama, members of the diplomatic hall, Nime Name. Nananom, Togbio, Mamao. Our national chairman, the general secretary, the entire leadership, from the national through the regional constituency to the wards and branches. To our devoted, hardworking, and teeming supporters and sympathizers, many who have traveled from across the country, to you all, I extend my deep appreciation for endorsing my nomination and for accepting me again. To my family, colleagues and friends, all those who have sent me volumes of moving letters and voice and written notes and songs and prayers of support since my nomination, please accept my undying gratitude. My plea is for all of us, bound by a shared vision to see our country take a turn for the better towards working, realizing that vision. I know you can, and I know you will. Your Excellency, Ayebida, President Mahama, please allow me to address you directly. As I stated in my brief acceptance note on March 7th, 2024, by renominating me, you have demonstrated your remarkable consistency and unwavering commitment to inclusivity and innovation. I have heard you share with me, no, with the public, as you have done tonight, your rationale for choosing me again. I find this very, very touching. Thank you very much. As the Gonjas express it, with meaning, Ansan Kushun. I see your choice as an... I see your choice as an affirmation of your belief in the capabilities of the Ghanaian woman. I will repay your abiding confidence with loyalty, with understanding and a devotion to duty. My output going forward, by the grace of God, will continue to demonstrate what the world knows already, that women are also capable of high achievements, that we do so with that reservoir of strength, determination, and mental acuity that only those who are noble and far-sighted like you can comprehend and contend with. I will share in our collective successes and share responsibility for our setbacks, if any. And at the time of reckoning, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, I will not, in the advancement of self-serving ambition, declare to the whole world that I was only the driver's mate. Thank you. Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, before I go on to other important matters, please let me state my understanding of where we are as a country, as a nation, and the implications of what lay ahead. The election ahead is not so much about Ghana making history, although that is important. It is not so much about returning a competent president back to power. It is not even about producing the first woman vice president. Historical and exciting though these are, it is not only about bringing the NDC back to power, although that is indispensable in our current circumstances. The elections ahead and winning them, it's about winning elections for a purpose. The purpose goes beyond those enumerated above. The purpose is the opportunity to heal our country again. It is about the opportunity to pull Ghana back from the precipice of destruction, of normalizing corruption, of incomprehensive greed, from deep despair. The election ahead and winning it for our party is about hard work and abiding sacrifice. It is to embrace everyone in building a Ghana that functions again. It is to work towards a Ghana where citizens have confidence and hope and are determined to regain their independence of thought and of agenda. We must work towards a Ghana that at the very least can feed itself. We know we can. We must work towards a Ghana where the law truly works, where there is shared prosperity, where democracy has not become a fluke, where people are not abused, and where the basic necessities of life are not denied the majority. It is a chance to work hard towards building a country where citizens do not feel disrespected or intimidated or ignored because of the way they vote or the language they speak. The victory we seek as a party is to invite everyone to the onerous task of rebuilding a broken Ghana, of restoring hope in a manner that the is capable of, and evidenced by its history and achievements, especially the recent ones under His Excellency John Dramani Mahama. My brothers and sisters, we are not in ordinary times. This is not news. Some of us have been around for a while and have experienced the to and fro of politics in Ghana. But never have we experienced the levels of greed, unbridled arrogance, unrestrained impunity, sheer dishonesty, barefaced hypocrisy, incompassion, as displayed by this incumbent government over the past 6 years and more. Nananom, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, the task ahead is formidable, much more than it was 4 years ago. When people ask me, why are you doing this? Let me explain. I remain inspired by the fact that as a people, we have faced terrible situations before. Check our history. Please don't begin with the Fourth Republic or the struggle for independence, although these are also important milestones. Go hundreds of years back. In those hard times, our forefathers and our foremothers too did not throw up their arms in despair. They fought back. They resisted. They sacrificed. They persevered. They brought back hope when there was none. They picked up the pieces of a broken people and carefully and strategically sold them back. And they left for us a legacy of selflessness, of true patriotism and pride. It is our responsibility today to leave something better for the next generations. Giving up is not an option. We must all soldier on. Across the political divide, across social and professional groupings, among the youth, you hear complaints and stories concerning state capture, where this government has chosen to use its power not in the broader interests of all Ghanaians, but to favor a small clique. What is that? John and I have agreed that whoever has participated in the plunder of the state must be held accountable. And not a threat. It is a promise. It is a promise which is premised on the wishes of our citizens across the political divide, and it is hinged on the principle of accountability. Let us face the facts. Today, what do we hear? It's the promotion of ethnocentric elitism, which is masquerading as intellectualism. Gentlemen, it is elitism masquerading as intellectualism. It is weakness strutting as courage, and crony capitalism masked as development in freedom. It is shameless hypocrisy pretending to be objective. These will never move our country forward. Rather, the most significant achievement of all these has been a country in near insolvency. Its natural resources such as water, land, and even the environment in rebellion. A people harassed and intimidated into numbness. And as some will say cynically, some of us also bribed into silence. I envisage a report on the administration of His Excellency John Dramani Mahama on the ticket of the NDC in his reign 2013 to early 2017. And I bet that the report will have no reference to the following: a multi-million dugout. I don't know about you, but the image I get looking at that hole, it's a trench in utter shock that anyone could believe it was intended as a thanksgiving gift to the almighty, invisible, God only wise. You will not find in this record a free SHS at war, the battle fought on the grounds of food, shelter, space, even calendar, teaching and learning materials, or those who spend a couple of weeks in school and many months at home just idling by. You will not find past questions instead of textbooks and science equipment. You will not find an atmosphere that suppresses learning. You will not find free water and electricity to a few that are stand out to be most expensive for everyone. Such a report will not find COVID money shared for partisan political campaign purposes. And all of this done when people were dying and they needed just a little bit of help. You will not find in its term an Ejapa-like manifesto. And you will not find him as president clearing malfeasance and writing love letters to prejudice a bad situation. You will not find that unemployment jumped from 8% to 14%, and actually check the figures, check the actual figures, go beyond the percentages. And you will not find a debt to GDP that has gone awol, or a city that refuses to be tamed. Under his tenure, you will not find weak efforts to hide the truth of Dumso. The reports will not include scandals surrounding the PDS, Australian visa, Kelvin JVG, Boss Contaminated Fuel, Excavations, and Aboboya Tricycles that can fly faster than Nkonfem. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not find unfulfilled promises of one village, one dam, $1 million per constituency per year, 350 secondary schools from scratch, and too many betrayals and too many instances of disrespect. You will not find in his time Extractor too embarrassed and gone into hiding because it is too afraid to expose its plagiarized content. In truth, such an investigation of his term would not reveal over 100 scandals and still counting. What will the report say about the NDC under John Dramani Mahama? After exhausting the list of clinics, hospitals, medical centers, expansion of existing universities, polytechnics, 10 technical universities, brand new universities, focus on current and projected national needs. You will find the Mahama schools, popularly called E-blocks, and you will find these constructed from scratch. You will find that there was a debilitating shift system. And that it was painstakingly and effectively abolished. You'll find that the ratio of textbooks at the primary level moved from one book to three children to four books per child. This is a leader you can trust. This is a leader who has the love of the country at heart. The report will highlight new roads, harbors, railway lines, not what we've seen of late, Ayalolo buses. You will find the lack of intimidation of opposing voices. You will find serious investment and practice to enable a digitized economy and society. The report will go on to point at housing projects including the famous Saglemi housing complex, and even those that somebody has happily raised to make room for a presumed cathedral. You will find that journalists were not hounded into exile. Should I add more? Okay. The report will find that once upon some years ago, the blame for power outages was placed at the doorstep of the president and the minister for energy. The report will find a president who solved the energy crisis that he inherited, and a minister who did resign on principle. The report will tell of a timetable for load shedding provided to respect the dignity of citizens and acknowledge their right to plan and also to learn the truth about our situation with energy. The report will contrast the existing arrogance in leadership with that of the respectful JDM, who builds the children and youth by offering lasting skills, quality education, serious adaptable training, who opens up the economy to create more space for jobs and self-actualization. The report will highlight a JDM who does not line up desperate young people in the heat of the tropical sun to march and salute him as head of state for jobs that have no head, they have no tail, they have no future. The report will explain the foundations of the principles of the policies of the NDC, that they will see that the NDC strives and thrives on consensus building from observation, study, analysis, vigorous debates that tolerate all views, to an agreement on the options at hand, and end with well thought out implementation plans. The benefits of such approach inure to everyone. They inure to nation, they inure to community, they inure to individual, in that order. The report will highlight going forward the critical processes that will lead to innovations and flexibilities of the brave, timely, intentional intervention of a 24-hour economy as proposed by H.E. Mahama after consulting widely with stakeholders and citizens across the country, because he respects everyone. I'm not surprised at all that many labor groups, businesses and individuals have embraced the concept. It is a vision anchored on the firm belief that the right policies and with the right policies and incentives in place, we can inspire a new generation of enterprises to adopt a multi-shift work system and wider participation in the economy, thereby ushering us all into a new and golden era of Ghanaian industry. Obiara baby. And by the time the policy is in full flight, a couple of years down the road, we should not be surprised to see how, from the vegetable seller to the miner, from the smallest hamlet to the crowded cities, from the farmer to the fisherfolk, from the young couple to the single parent, everyone will come and see and apply the benefits of the 24-hour economy for national, group and individual advancement. Please come join us in our hall meetings, in our town hall meetings, and other programs to learn more about this incredibly effective strategy. Do not fall victim to those who have realized that having failed in sloganeering and packaging, that they have exhausted all their strategies and therefore resort to deception and destruction. We are particularly pleased to see, as evidence in credible polls, that this visionary policy has caught on and resonated with the public, especially with our young people. Where are the youth? Are they here? The policy is for you, so please come and learn more about it. I know for a fact that the nation builder, John Mahama, who is not an economist, will deliver this economic model. He thinks through what he does. He thinks through what he says. He considers advice. He is confident enough to amend his views when confronted by working alternatives. He does not rush with decisions that have serious effects on the lives of others. John Mahama does not shoot from the hip. A 24-hour economy. A 24-hour economy will demand that we pay special attention to skills training in Sanwejuma. And that is why we are serious about continuing with the critical reforms and the improvements we made under his tenure in our technical and vocational training institutions, to ensure that we equip our youth with the technical skills necessary for a thriving economy. In Sanwejuma, Ejuma also means equipping our youth with tech skills so that they are ready to participate in our economy and the global remote economy. So, as we mentioned several times, during the 2020 campaign, we intend to implement the 1 million coders program, which set an ambitious but attainable goal to train over 1 million of our youth in coding, data science, and other tech fields. The potential for this pool of young people to contribute to Ghana's GDP is enormous, and inshallah, it shall happen. Definitely, another important area and why this position is important and why the NDC has prioritized it. We will pay special attention to issues and challenges faced by women in all walks of life. Oh, the women are not happy. And the men too. This is part of the reason we propose extended maternity leave, in line with one of His Excellency President Mahama's 2020 election promises. And in the 2024 manifesto, the flexibility offered within the context of a 24-hour economy must hold special attention for women, for obvious reasons. Maybe we should meet and have a long discussion on that one. Women entrepreneurs must have access to capital for the entire sector to boost their businesses. And that is why we will actively pursue the establishment of a women's development bank. To primarily nurture and grow women-owned, women-led businesses. Women must become millionaires too, shouldn't we? We must become millionaires too through hard work, as our men do. We do not need hands out. We need hands up. Women of Ghana are capable of managing that bank 100%. The bank must take care of small-scale businesses or tiny-scale businesses to give them credit. And I'm talking about those who are hawking or people whose businesses do not depend on huge capital. I envisage this board made up of trading associations and cooperatives, and all these fully represented and making serious decisions and being accountable to its members. And I into me. And the world knows what we do with our resources when women prosper. We hardly leave our children behind. We hardly leave the wider families, including the men, behind. There is better stability at home. There's better peace at home. Most will demand less job money, so the girls should clap for us. And you know that all these add up to make a nation at peace with itself. Surely this is what Kwejiri Aghrey must have observed when he made his famous statement about the far-reaching effects of the education of women. Thank you very, very much. And distinguished ladies and gentlemen, if anyone has any doubt, just remember a lady called Esther Oklu. What brilliance, what innovation, what display of entrepreneurship. She showed the way. Let's revive that dream and hope and actions of our hero and heroine entrepreneurs as models. Let's stop killing their dreams because some of us are simply too lazy, too envious, too lacking in original ideas, or have capabilities that are too low to match their results. How do we preach entrepreneurship, encourage a study, and propose this practice, and then turn around to make waste of the efforts of successful entrepreneurs? If you decide you don't like the owner, think of the worker who may be a member of your community, your political party, or even your church member. How about him? We must move to the level of encouragement, appreciation, and support of those who participate in the private sector, no matter what. Their efforts at nation building trickle down to all groups. We will also undertake the modernization of our markets, which remain special and dominant places for women in the economy. Market women deserve the benefits of a clean, modernized marketplace. Our efforts so far bear witness. All I plead is that our efforts must not end with beautiful Kejetia or attractive Kotokraba and allied markets. My fellow Ghanaians, please, let us just be mindful and show some respect to our citizens. So the lights are not stable. And because somebody has not told us that it is doomsday, it means there is no doomsday. So the Electoral Commission is struggling to defend its credibility. And until the Commission tells us that the missing equipment mean nothing, everyone should believe that there are no issues to worry about. How did disrespect get so high? Actions that impoverish and disenfranchise do not necessarily translate into feeble-mindedness in people who are angry, in people who are hungry, and in people who are oppressed. On the contrary, again, check the details in our history. Electoral Commission, I address you directly. It is in the national interest and in your own interest to make transparent what has been and is going on in your establishment. The truth will not be suppressed. You cannot be so independent as to disregard the people who validate your existence.